Hey everybody, I'm Luke and welcome back to The Breakdown. Today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite Sundays of the year, Belong Sunday. And it doesn't take much to see how important that is to the heartbeat of our church. The Lord's blessed us with John and Kim Gagne, and their heart for foster care and adoption and their testimony. They stand, as you know, Paul talks about how we are living epistles. Well, the Gagnes are our living epistle of the father heart of God being revealed for foster care and adoption, and how God goes after the one. You know, we read those parables of the parable of the lost sheep, and that's the heart of God for us. And Paul talks about that. He says that we have received the spirit of adoption, crying out, Abba, Father. So foster care and adoption, this is not a side ministry of the church. If anything, this is the church. This is the main heartbeat of God being on display. Just as God has adopted us, we are now called to take up that mantle and to go out to the lost sheep of the world and to go save those children that are hurting and lost, just as we ourselves once were. Even if we grew up with parents, we were all led astray by sin, and we were in need of a savior. We were in need of a father to love us and to set us free. And that's why God sent Jesus. So to talk about this and to explore this wonderful Sunday of the year, I have Mr. and Mrs. Dave and Tammy Eckerson. Welcome to The Breakdown.
Thanks, Luke. Hi, Luke. We're happy to be here.
It's so good to have you. So before we dive in, it is heading into the holiday season and Thanksgiving's around the corner and Christmas. And you guys, for those people who don't know, you guys have how many children?
We have 11.
11 children.
Yes, sir.
So Thanksgiving and Christmas must be some pretty rambunctious times at your house.
It is. It is. It's a lot of it's the open door and people coming and going throughout the day because we have in-laws and they have other people to go to. And so everyone's in a car going to and fro.
But then there always seems to be other families dropping in as well.
So. Right. Which is a lot of fun.
That's so cool. So do you guys have any special traditions at Thanksgiving or Christmas time?
Well, on Thanksgiving, when our kids were younger, and I'd like to start bringing this back now with the grandkids, is we used to go up to the hill in our backyard, and just like the pilgrims would travel up to Burial Hill, and they would have their church service up there. We would, Thanksgiving morning, go to the top of the hill with the boys usually drumming on something.
Oh, that's so cool.
And Dave would read some out of William Brewster's...
Bradford.
William Bradford.
Fact check.
Yes, fact check for the husband. He read, I listened. But just the importance of their hearts in getting away from Holland and whatnot. And just guarding our hearts in the world and as we raise our children.
Amen.
So it's always been a very good reminder anyways. And later on, of course, we'd have a turkey shoot, which were balloons.
Oh.
Yes.
Now, Luke's luring me off topic here, but in William Bradford's account of Plymouth Plantation, there's a chapter on the decision to leave for the new world, in which to us it meant a lot because it was so important to them what was to become of their children. Their children were being tempted by the world. They were getting older. Holland was not their home. And what was to become of their posterity, their legacy? And that affected them very much. It's a great chapter, if you read nothing else, about how to make a decision in the leading of the Lord.
And what is the name of the book or the writing?
Of Plymouth Plantation by William Bradford.
Awesome. Now, do either of you have a lineage that goes back to the Mayflower?
I do.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I always find it fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. So many people do, though. I feel like it's
this
rare.
So it's very, it is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
So cool. So you've been deeply embedded in this land since the founding.
Let's just mention, too, that at the time of the Revolutionary War, one out of four Americans was a descendant of the Mayflower Pilgrims.
Wow.
And think how many of those were actually the descendants of fostered or adopted children because half of the original pilgrims died that first winter. And what became of their children? Mm. They were taken in generously and joyfully by those who remained.
Mm. See, I didn't know that. Mm. I mean, I knew they died, but I never thought of the children that were affected.
And there was mostly children left.
Mm. And I think that speaks a lot to their Christian community, mm-hmm. because I'd grown up knowing, oh, a lot of them didn't make it through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no need to emphasize the fact that the children were taken care of, because it was just something that they did.
Right. Right.
They were the church.
Yeah.
And how far we've strayed as a society that, you know, I think a lot of times when we see a problem, we've been indoctrinated.
Mm-hmm.
Even those of us who know the role of the church, we're indoctrinated to even just ask the question, well, what's the government doing about this?
Mm.
And that's a sad thing. Yeah,
it is.
It is a sad thing. In fact, it gets sadder the more you get into it.
Mm.
But I do not want to at all sound like I'm blaming any of the incredibly dedicated people we have met.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And we'll get to that. And that is definitely a calling. Mm-hmm. Just like I believe teaching is a calling, and mm-hmm. teaching in the public schools, you know, and even as we seek to provide the best for our own children, the Lord wants to place us in all spheres of society.
Right.
And you know, being able, back when I was in college, getting to work at St. Vincent's Home as a residential counselor, it was I felt that was a privilege to be there, and you know, always hoping that, you know, the impact that I would have in little ways would carry with those children.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord, we do bless all people who are involved in the system, from in the workers. And if you are doing that, know that you are doing God's work. You're as much yeah. of a spiritual worker as a pastor on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
So diving into the message and Sunday as a whole, what were some highlights for you guys?
Well, for me, when Kim said that, that you feel like you're unqualified to be a foster parent or adoptive parent, that really stuck to me because, you know, I've never parented a child who was in trauma before. And you just feel ill-equipped. You mm-hmm. just feel like, even though they give you 10 weeks of training and whatnot, they don't prepare you really for the day-to-day goings on. You don't know a child's background, so you don't know what's going to trigger them or affect them. It's kind of like getting a puzzle and having a whole bunch of pieces set before you, but you have no idea what the box, top of the box looks like and how it's supposed to go together. And so also just because I, along with feeling unqualified, I... like Kim said, it's a very messy thing. It's a hard thing. And so I didn't realize how my own selfish and my own expectations of how I was going to be, how I thought it would go. I had raised 10 children so far. I had a certain thought about how to raise children. And so I just thought, oh, well, my daughter's just going to be, we're just going to ditto that. And mm-hmm. the Lord quickly began unraveling that thought for me and causing that to come to, you know, Ichabod. God's not in this. And so I just really needed to submit the whole thing to the Lord. And so that's the sooner I did that, the better it was for all of us. I had to throw away my plan and to really seek the Lord daily and trust him to supply what we needed and to get his wisdom and how to minister to her.
Mm.
I think we forgot to mention that of our 11 children, 10 are our biological children.
Right.
And we began our foster care journey 4 or 5 years ago. And in December of 2022, we adopted Nevaeh when our biological kids, ranged from age 17 to 17 to 29. No, not 29. All right, I'm losing track. Presently, our biological children are 21 to 38. So at the time, 17 to 34, we brought a 9-year-old foster child into our home. And by God's grace, the adoption was finalized in December of 2022. And Nevaeh is now 13, or as she reminded me the other day, 13 and a half. So I have to be very careful not to say anything cringy here. But it's been an amazing journey of growth and faith for us.
And on Sunday, what spoke to you, or what resonated with you?
Well, you know, I mean, one problem I have with the long Sunday, of course, is that I always I just get washed over by waves of sentimentality. I've always, you know, been you know, outraged, or when I've heard of children being abused and neglected, that was you know, one of the early warnings that this calling was coming on us. And you know, several years ago, Kim Gagne came to the church we were then attending, and gave her presentation about foster care and Bags of Hope. And you know, she, as she does so wonderfully, she kind of fanned that spark.
So amen.
coming to this Sunday and hearing her testimony, I was you know, just again reminded, as Tammy said, that just because, you know, I would have said at one time, this is a mess, and left it there. But I've come to see that that's not a reason for God's people to avoid it. It's a it's a reason that God may very well be calling his people into the mess, as he always does. So Kim inspired me with that vision as well, that we do need to go there, and it's ambiguous, it's challenging, and if those things excite you, you know, consider whether you make up, maybe called yourself.
Amen. As you're talking, I'm just reminded of, you know, God could say the same thing about us. Like, we are a mess, and we know that, right? You know, without him, we are a mess, yet right. He bears with us, and it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And it's, you know, it's such a journey. It's such a process, but he does it so well. And, you know, the more I talk to parents, I have so many friends who have kids, and they all tell me things about how, you know, you learn so much about yourself when you become a parent, and you learn so much about the father heart of God in parenting.
This is a big part of it, is that the transformation isn't just happening in the child that's coming to your home. It's a daily, well, in any parenting situation, as you said, Luke, it is a daily transformation in yourself. You see what is, you know, you squeeze the bottle, what comes out. And so we all as parents, like, see that coming out of yourself. And so especially, I think, in a foster situation, you're so out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Because you've never done this before. But then, you know, the same thing was true, though, when, you know, I came to the Lord. It's a very similar situation, because Dave and I were married, had two children, and then came to the Lord.
Wow.
So it was like, I had no idea that the Bible even had to say anything about marriage, about child training, nothing. And so, and I was learning how to be a child of God. Mm. We spent a lot of time repenting to our children for, as you know, the clarity of what God's word said came to us, and we're trying to instill, you know, God's truth in them and live it out. I mean, this is just, this is life, you know, but it's just, you just feel like sometimes you're taking one step forward and two back, but the Lord, you know, the Lord sees your heart, and he's so patient and kind.
Amen.
You know, he's just so right there with us. And so you feel like, oh, I'm messing this up. I'm becoming the parent I didn't want to be. And I so would feel that way. You know, this is not how, I'd just be crying out to God, please help me be. I always thought of myself, you know, well, someday, you know, because we saw Kim the first time in 2016. And so that was quite a journey until we actually got, you know, Nevaeh in our home. But I always dreamt that I was going to be this mom that just had infinite patience and just, and it did not work out that way. It was because I had to get rid of my own ideas of what it was going to look like and really submit myself to him. And so that was a big part of it.
I've seen a lot. Again, this is just from my observations in life and just even just hearing lots of messages from different pastors. And it seems that, you know, one way that Satan really attacks moms is to make them feel guilty and that they're not good moms.
Not enough. You'll never see with in a foster situation. Also, you have extremely needy children. Mm-hmm. They've been so neglected. Right. They so want your attention. They so want your love. They so want a safe place.
Yeah.
And to be that 24/7 can be really exhausting.
And moms deal with this with their own children.
Right. Oh, yes.
So how has the Lord met you in that place? Does that resonate with you?
Yes.
Okay.
So for me, I had to make sure that I was definitely having my quiet time. And David, even amidst having 10 children, and we at one point we had 5 kids, 6 and under. And so even in the midst of that, Dave always made sure I had my quiet time and that I could seek the Lord. There were just certain things like worship music always went on at 4 in the afternoon. That was a survival. Mm-hmm. That was my survival mode, you know, to start worshiping God and allow the Lord to come into the home. But I think making space for myself as a person was important.
Mm-hmm.
No matter, you know, other people might think that looks like some grandiose thing. It didn't for me. I need to journal and just kind of like get it out and work it through with the Lord and bring it all to him and have that space to do that. But I think that also trusting God to meet the needs.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. And Dave has always been, it's not up to you in town. It's not up to you, Tammy. It's not. And so that was a very big thing. You have.
No, I do want to say that there is a difference, a distinct difference. And in parenting your own children, who've been with you from birth, they have had that cup filled of love and safety. And so as they get older, you can bring the law to bear on them in a loving way without being worried that they're going to be traumatized by it or you know, permanently harmed. You have their trust. They know you love them. And when you bring a child from a background of trauma, and you know, and tragically, even at a very early age, even a toddler who's been neglected or abused, there's a hole there. There's that inability to trust adults. There's that insecurity that is just always there. When we see this at home, Tammy and I call it a survival mode. It's a mode of that comes from not knowing if you're going to be fed or clothed or sheltered on any given day. It's a mode of knowing, how am I going to get to school? Who's going to be there when I come home, and what's the state of things? And it leads the child to, well, simultaneously, it's kind of a contradiction, but simultaneously to be extremely insecure and also and lead them to be extremely controlling. So we had to throw away the book in a lot of ways in parenting our 11th child. It was good that we had the experience of parenting 10 children. So it gave us confidence, probably vain confidence, but some confidence. We knew what normal looked like, and we were able to look back, and most importantly, I think, on the way that God had fulfilled his promises as we walked by faith and sometimes not knowing where things or how things were going to come out.
So
that's been a beautiful thing.
And also what Dave just touched on, like what normal looked like, that's what our daughter needed. That's what she wanted. She wanted a family. And she would just sit there over and over and over again, writing her name, writing her name, writing her sibling's name, writing her name next to her sibling's mm-hmm. name. And she would just revel in that. She would, once she really got the bug of reading in her, because she loved to read, but she would pick up all the books on the shelves that were about families.
Wow.
And she would just read and pore over those books. Like, she could read the same book so many times. I'm talking about not just short books. She loves to read. And
that's,
so
that's wonderful.
Yeah. And but like, she would just, she's like, do you have another book like this? Because she just wanted to read. This was a safe place. This is where I can see that mothers and fathers love each other and siblings love each other. And though they might have an argument or something, they all work it out together. And God is present in the Amen. Midst of it. Be careful what your children are reading,
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
Because Amen. What are you putting in there in their moral warehouse? Mm-hmm. This was filling in her like an oil, just a safe place. Mm. And she just loved that, you know, she just absolutely loved that. Mm. But I wanted to say, like Dave did, this survival mode that so many kids have is they are constantly reading the room for danger. And so it is an energy that is going all the time. And I just think, oh, it just breaks my heart to think that she has to do that.
Yeah, this is a long journey, and I don't get Tammy. Is expressing our dreams, but you know, along the way, it's tough, and I tried to come to this, you know, without rose-colored glasses. I tried to tell myself, okay, I'm not being sentimental here. You know, this is not Anne of Green Gables doing here. You know,
but Anne of Green Gables loved books. It sounds like yes. you may yes. have a little right. Anne of Green Gables.
Yeah.
let me tell you, if you enjoy Anne of Green Gables and then you experience foster care yourself as a parent, you will never look at that book the same way again.
Yeah.
Okay, it's actually a lot deeper
Very
than it appears
insightful.
On the surface. However, however, what was I going to say? I was going to say that we're still on the journey. We're yeah. very much still on the journey, still very much walking by faith, still. You know, seeking the Lord. And yes, you know, to someone going into this journey, I would say, you know, you have the Holy Spirit, you have God's word, you have the promises of God for your family. And those are powerful, you know, those, that is where you're going to need to draw your power from.
Amen.
You know, on a very practical level, day to day, it's helped me to try to keep my sense of humor. And I wish we could say some more of the more personal things here, which would be very both funny and poignant. But, you know, as besides having a sense of humor, you can remind yourself, hey, you know, I didn't make this situation the way it is, you know, Lord, but, you know, you've called me to be here, right. but I'm not, you know, at least I'm not blaming myself.
Yeah.
And yet. Okay. You know,
and hearing you talk, like there is a clear call and a commitment and a drive, even as you discuss the challenge and this isn't just an easy walk in the park. It's not just, you know, the nice, you know, Christmas postcard. Like there is a lot that goes into that. And parenting a child that wasn't parented and showing love to someone who the enemy twisted with their concept of what love was. They might even have like a concept of love.
And that's a great point, Lucas. We don't want to forget that this is also spiritual warfare.
Amen.
You're invading a territory where the enemy thought he was secure.
Amen.
And for generations.
Yeah.
And
unfortunately for these children, a lot of them, this is a generational thing.
Mm-hmm. A child in foster care very often has had a parent who experienced foster care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Take us through how the Lord birthed this desire in your heart, because this was not something that you undertook lightly.
Mm-hmm. back in about, well, like Dave already shared, Kim came in 2016. We saw her at the church we were attending at the time. And during the time that she spoke, the Lord actually spoke to me, Psalm 92:14, they shall still bear fruit in old age. Mm-hmm. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Now, whenever I thought about adopting, I always thought, oh, it's got to be a baby. You know, everyone adopts a baby. I never really thought, even though I had an aunt who had fostered like 50 children.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of babies, though. But that was just something, you know, that was what she was called to do. But for me, I think that I kind of had the Lord in the box on that, on what that was going to look like. And we only wanted a baby if that was what it was going to be. And we also wanted a child that wasn't going to be local to where we lived.
Now, let me add a couple to the list of excuses. We said, well, an older child, their character is already going to be formed.
Right.
And we're also very dedicated homeschoolers. So we said, they're going to make us put the child in public school.
Right.
Well,
they did.
And maybe the
at least temporarily.
Maybe the scariest one, and I'm sure if you're considering this, it occurred to you, what if you love a child with all your heart, mm-hmm. and then they have to leave again, you mm-hmm. know, because you don't know. I mean, you may think you know, and there may be goals and signs in the system that say this is going to go this way, but as people have very sadly learned, things can change right up to the very last minute.
Right. And we actually did have, I don't want to say a scare, but they were going to take. So our son, Nate, and his wife, Haley, they actually went through.
The first, you know, actual physical step in this process was when they went through the training, and the first placement they had was a little baby, 7-month-old baby Malachi.
Right.
And so as they walked that, you know, the first few months of that, they learned that Malachi had an older half-sister, and that was Nevaeh. And we began, she was placed in another home, but we began, that just planted a seed for us.
Right. So we started the MAPS training during COVID, which they had put off for like almost a year until we could even start it because of COVID. But and then we started doing when we finally were approved, then we started doing respite care because the Lord really laid in our heart that we knew that the foster family that Nevaeh was with would not be able to take her on any further in her journey. And so we wanted to get the two kids in the same family. So Nate and Haley and David and I started working towards with DCF the process of adopting both of the children.
And, you know, it sounds like a very neat package, but of course, you know, there is nothing for sure.
No, I remember those days. Mm-hmm. Nate and Haley would always be sharing different prayer requests, and it seemed like every week, every month was a new hurdle that had to be overcome.
Yeah. And it was, in the end, it was, actually a counselor who helped us out with that because they went to the judge and told them that it would not be a good dynamic for both of the children to be in the same house for the growth of one of the children. And so we were very thankful, and we just saw the Lord's hand working that all out. And now the two kids live just miles apart from each other and see each other all the time, mm-hmm. which is a huge blessing.
You know, once Nevaeh was with us, and if you know Nevaeh, you know she's an amazing kid. She's she's incredibly resilient,
very cheerful, very perceptive,
resolutely mm-hmm. cheerful and engaging. And once she was in our home, you know, there was no way, if we had anything to do with it, that we were going to let this child go back into the system. And so we became tiger parents in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incredible how the Lord orchestrated this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all those excuses I listed, they fell more and more flat.
Yeah.
So part of the lesson here is don't tell God what you're not going to do.
And also, I just want to say that our 10 children and spouses just rallied around us, like just incredibly, in prayer and just giving to Nevaeh and Malachi.
Just totally embracing Nevaeh as their little sister.
Yes.
And to love and to mentor.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of mentoring, a lot of, you know, when she had angst against mom and dad, she would try to go to them.
As any child does.
Yes, yes. But she would try to go to big sister or brother and pour out her heart, and they'd go, I don't think so. But could try to, you know, gently correct her. But like Joel has taught her to skate, to ride a bike, you know. They've been
so
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. Very, very cool relationship.
So what would you say, you know, looking back on this journey and even looking towards the future, what is the fruit that you would say the Lord has given you from walking this path that you know this would not have happened any other way?
You mean the fruit?
In your heart, in your spirit,
in your heart.
Home. Yeah.
I think it's kind of like this. Like, there was a point in my life that I was bound to a wheelchair, and I had had a serious back injury, and I gained a heart for people who were bound in a wheelchair, and I never saw them like I did until I was there. I don't think when I see children on the street not being watched, my heart, my eyes are, I mean, I've always had a heart for children, but now it's not just, it's never just somebody else's problem or something, but it's definitely something that my heart, like even in prayer, I mean, even teenagers in our church, even, you know, kids in his kids that I've brushed up against and things. Just a heart to pray more for those children. Even David and I going to India once and just seeing children and just the state that they're living in and things. It breaks your heart. The Father gives you his heart for children. And I think that I would just say, people need to listen to that. Don't brush it aside. Like, really listen. What's God doing there? You know, that's.
I would, you know, sometimes before this experience, you know, I was skeptical about, you know, childhood trauma, those sorts of things. These kids, they just need, they just need character development, right? This is character stuff. And, I through the training and the reading, I came to understand that these things do go very deep. Probably people are familiar with the book "The Body Keeps the Score" about how there's a wiring that's puts in from trauma, and that can occur at a very early age without a child even knowing that it's happened. And it's a great insight, but it's also a very bleak book, you know, and because what's missing is hope. What's missing is the hope that only the Lord can give. And so even in this, although, you know, I think it's a side thing, even in this, I've had to go back myself and look and learn about what I experienced growing up in an alcoholic home and, you know, not realizing it at the time and how that has shaped me for good and for bad. So it's been an incredible fast track growth experience, not only in understanding, but in just sheer having the raw material for faith in my home every single day. You know? And I want, you know, this is, we're as somewhat older, a somewhat older couple. You know, I'm 67, Tammy's 61, adopting one older child from the system. And when I look around me at what's going on in this church and the wider in the wider world of adoption, there are kids in the system. There are, you know, multiple sibling groups. There are special needs kids. There are kids who need adoption internationally. There's the incredible things that Kim is doing with Wicker and Reed. There are so, so many paths. And ours, you know, I feel often this is, we had one of the easiest paths mm-hmm. where the blessing was, you know, kind of like right on our doorstep. Whereas so many families are making incredible sacrifices to follow the Lord in this path.
I also want to say that, like, when you're in the process of going from fostering to adoption, that it's spiritually almost like being in labor. And just like really interceding and just the covering over the child, and just, you know, you're speaking the word of God constantly, and God's word does not return void,
Amen.
But accomplishes what he set it forth to do. And also, you know, what the enemy is meant for evil, God's turning it to a good.
Amen.
And he is going to do that work. And so
The PSA on this is many older children in the system are free for adoption right
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And you would be at least spared yes. The uncertainties of that part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of older children out there that need loving homes. They need a space. They need a place to belong. And that our church, you know, celebrating Belong Sunday, that word is everything to a child who, you know, brings a trash bag or a bags of hope bag wherever Amen. They're going. Yeah. Older children get bounced, as Luke knows from St. Vincent so mm-hmm. well. Those children just get bounced from one place to another. People say they were going to adopt them, then they fall through. And then the child has disappointment again and feels that rejection and trauma mm-hmm. again. So many times from Emily working there also. Yeah. Just one time after another, after another. And so these children need somebody who's going to say yes and who's going to prove themselves to be trustworthy and have the heart of God for them.
Yeah. Being friends with Nate and Haley, mm-hmm. I've heard them talk about how, you know, Malachi was born from their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm sensing, hearing from you guys, it's that our heart posture should be, mm-hmm. Lord, what children do you want born from my heart?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's physical children or mm-hmm. it's adopted children, foster care children, even if it's for a season, like, Lord, where do you want that? And understanding that, you know, the Bible says children are a heritage from the Lord. So,
Amen.
Lord, guide that process of me being a parent. And right. what child? And if he says it's a 16-year-old, you mm-hmm. know, boy that grew up in a town right next to you,
mm-hmm.
then that's the one.
Right. And that's also, there are a lot of kids who age out of the system. And those kids also
yes,
need parents. Yeah. And there is a way to connect with kids. Like Joel just got an ornament from Bags of Hope for a boy named Joel, who is Joel's age.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It's it said 22 on it. So I'm just saying that
yes.
these kids, they still need a place to be. They still
do.
Need like a home to go to on Thanksgiving. They mm-hmm. still, and we have, I mean, Nate, our oldest son, one time had a friend who was going to spend Christmas in his car on the street. And we were like, oh, no. You know, you got to pull him in. he's going to come here. I can't take it. You know, so just like always having that, like Kim said, that chair at the table. Mm-hmm. Who's going to have that chair at the table for them? And or that bed. And, you know, even within our church, there are kids who visit our church who need a home, mm-hmm. who need a place. They don't have the family.
Amen. Amen.
So,
and I'm even feeling just convicted to engage with people as, spiritual orphans, no matter the age,
yes,
like those who
yes.
are lost, they are spiritual orphans.
Mm-hmm.
And the Father has given us that heart of adoption.
Yes.
In the same way that he adopted us, that is his heart mm-hmm. for every man, woman, and child.
Yes.
And Lord, help us to come into agreement with your heart for each person that we encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us a window, just a little snapshot into what the Lord's done in your life and through your home and the joy of Nevaeh and what she brings to you and to us.
She does.
So if people want to talk to you,
yes.
I'm sure you're more than happy to talk to them.
We are.
You can find Dave and Tammy on the right side of the mm-hmm. church, just a few rows up from the youth section. That's usually where they're always sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And they are wonderful people. You guys really are.
Thank you.
Wonderful. And I really sense the Lord's pleasure over you and that you have faithfully parented every child that he has brought to you.
Thank you. Luke, I mean, it's all God. You know it.
It is. It is.
You know it. Because we're broken. Yeah. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
No, but I know. But his grace is
yes,
sufficient
it is.
For us.
It is.
And you have made yourselves available. And that's all God asks.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So would you just bless us in prayer, please?
We just thank you, Lord, for that you didn't leave us orphans.
Mm.
But you've come to us by your Spirit. Lord, you've put your love in our hearts by your Spirit. And Lord, let us not neglect that gift that you've put in us, but go out there and be willing, be surrendered to the places that you call us. And Lord, let us have your eyes to see those. Lord, you said, suffer the little children to come to you, for their angels stand always in your presence. And even if I don't know exactly what that means, I know, Lord, that there is something special about your heart for children, and you are there. Lord, let us go where you are. Just let us be willing. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So if you're listening and this has stirred in your heart to get more involved, maybe you want to help pack bags for Bags of Hope. Those are super fun nights. Maybe you want to get involved with Wicker and Reed. Just go to the church's website, hbc.church, and you can find all the information. And if you want to know who to talk to, just email info@hbc.church, and you will be connected with someone that can provide you with the information that you're seeking. So family, let's go out. Let's be the church, and we'll see you on Sunday.